Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, good morning, Buffalo. It is Joe Beamer on a Friday here on Beach & Company, the Friday show. Good to be with you. So far, I think it's been a pretty good week. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Beautiful weather outside. Going to get close to 70 degrees today. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for midway through October. You've got Fall Fest in Ellicottville. Could be a very fun weekend. The Bills taking a bye week. So you have Sunday to yourself. You could watch the very entertaining Redskins-Dolphins game. That should be real fun to watch. You can enjoy the weather. Probably the last weekend. Now call me crazy. You probably will. Last weekend, you'll get away with the shorts and flip-flops combination. I've been comfortable all week. You know, a little chilly in the morning when you get into the car in flip-flops at 4 in the morning. But by the time I'm out at noon, it's comfortable. We're, like I said, today close to 70. Should be great. A great weekend to college football to set up everything. So hope you're off to a great Friday, getting to work, hoping it's 5 o'clock. I hear you. I'm hoping it's almost noon, but we'll have a good show. Now, yesterday, did anybody watch the Trump rally? I did. I sat through the Trump rally. I like how Fox started teasing the president will be up at any minute now at 7:30. And then the president finally got to the stage around 8:50. So that was a nice hour and a half pre-speech to tell us what we might hear. But I'm happy that President Trump finally told us what the Russian investigation was all about and how it started. I'm glad this information is out there for everybody to learn, everybody to know. And if you didn't hear it, I'm going to play it for you right now. If you didn't follow the Russian investigation, all right, you were under a rock, you don't know how the Russia investigation started, I couldn't say it any better than the president said it last night. This is how the Russia investigation started.
Months earlier, Peter Strzok. Remember, he and his lover, Lisa Page. What a group. She's going to win. 10 million to 1. She's going to win. I'm telling you, Peter, she's going to win. Peter, oh, I love you so much. I love you too, Lisa. Lisa, I love you. Lisa. Lisa. Oh, God, I love you, Lisa. And if she doesn't win, Lisa, we've got an insurance policy, Lisa. We'll get that son of a bitch out. We got an insurance policy. And we're living through the insurance policy. That's what it is. The phony Russia hoax. Lisa, I love you. Now, the do-nothing Democrat con artists and scammers are getting desperate. 13 months, I got to move fast, because they're not beating us at the polls, and they know it, despite the phony polls that you see all the time. They're phony polls. You know, polls are no different. Remember, I always used to talk about polls? I know polls very well. Polls are no different than crooked writers. They're crooked polls. No different.
If you missed the rally last night, that was my favorite part. I don't know. I don't care if you don't like the guy. All right. I know a lot of people out there don't like the way he speaks. And sometimes I'm with you. Don't like the way he tweets. Okay. But beside the fact that what he said is pretty close to factual, right? I mean, that was the insurance policy. That's what the text message said. And could you imagine if the roles were reversed and it was the CIA or someone in Washington, the FBI, that didn't like Hillary Clinton, and she was president, and there was an investigation, and that text was discovered, any kind of investigation would be over. But back to the point, that was hilarious. And I know a lot of people don't like the president, don't agree with what he says, but do you not have a funny bone in your entire body? I mean, some of the stuff this man says is hilarious. I was watching that last night. I was in tears laughing. I understand that people don't like him. That's fine. I don't agree with you. But if you don't like him, well, to each his own. But you don't find that to be hilarious? Some people are just way too stuck up. And another thing that I can't say on the air. But, you know, find the funny bone. Relax. Untense for a minute. Just sit back and laugh. That's funny. That is funny stuff. And like I said, very factual. But also, not what we're talking about today. I just thought I'd give you a little review of what went on in Minneapolis yesterday. By the way, of course, you can find that speech, I'm sure, somewhere. Now, it is debate season, and there are 300 Democrats going after the current man in the White House. But 12 of them will be on a stage next week. Also, a few days ago, we had the county executive debate here in Buffalo to set up the county executive election, which is 2 weeks away or less than 2 weeks away. And I want to know from you, my question to you is, do debates still matter? Or would you say they're outdated? Right? There was a time, especially when TV was first a norm in households, where debates were huge. People would be able to watch debates, not only hear the responses, but see the reaction from the candidates as they responded to the question or rebutted the other candidate's answer. But I'm asking you, in 2019, are debates still relevant, or are they more for entertainment? And if you were trying to decide between candidates, say, you know, hey, I don't know who I'm voting for. This is hypothetical. Say, I don't know who I'm voting for. I do like the president's policy. I agree with him on most things. However, I want to see what the other side has to offer. Are you watching a debate, or are you more likely to watch a one-on-one sit-down like the CNN Town Hall, like what we are doing here Monday and Tuesday with Mark Poloncarz and Lynn Dixon? What would you do to choose the candidate? I liked the first answer we had to this on Facebook. I'll read that when we come back. Also, what is your favorite debate moment? From any presidential or any local debate in the past, what is your favorite debate or most memorable debate moment? And if you had a question for Mark Poloncarz or Lynn Dixon, what would it be? 803-0930, star 930 on your cell phone. And as we already have, you can light up the text board at 3930. It's Joe Beamer talking debates after this. Good morning, everybody. Joe Beamer with you here on the Friday show. Getting your Friday / weekend started off right. Should be a fun night downtown tonight. The Buffalo Sabres, who are red hot. They've gotten at least a point in every game so far this season. Play their division rival, Florida Panthers. So that should be a fun game. They're a fun team to watch. I don't know how good they're going to be, if they're going to continue this streak, or it will be like last year where they were hot at some point in the season and then nothing but losses afterward. But at least they're fun to watch. They have a fun coach to listen to. And they're just a lot more fun. It's pretty much the same team, just a little more exciting on the ice so far. All right. So Tuesday, you have the CNN debate. We had the Erie County executive debate this week. That's almost done. And then we had the one-on-ones, right? CNN seems to have a town hall with a Democrat every other day. Here on WBEN, we will have Mark Poloncarz in studio on Monday, Lynn Dixon in studio on Tuesday, 1 hour conversation with each. And I'm asking you, which one do you like better to evaluate the candidate? The debates, they seem to be starting way too early, in my opinion. I mean, the first debate started for the Democrats was in June. I mean, just way far away from the primary. I don't know what that was supposed to do, except for maybe whittle a candidate or two away. And now you have another one on CNN. So, of course, that's all they'll talk about this weekend. And that's going to have 12 candidates. Well, maybe 11, because Tulsi Gabbard has said she may not cooperate. She may not go to the debate. Now, remember, she did not qualify for the last one, but she has qualified for this next one on CNN. And Tulsi Gabbard says, I'm giving serious consideration to boycotting the next debate October 15th. She will announce her decision in the coming days. She said that in a video on social media. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is saying that the DNC is trying to rig the 2020 primary. No. The Democrats are trying to rig a primary? Let me tell you, they didn't learn anything in 2016. Remember, if you ask most Democrats, Hillary Clinton won that election if it wasn't for Donald Trump and all his proven ties with Russia. Oh, wait a minute. We spent 2 years trying to find those ties. They're still not there, but they still think Hillary Clinton won that. So in the Democrats' view, in the Democratic Party, they think rigging the election is the right move. And let me tell you, they are going to rig this election for either Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren. It is going to be one of those two. I could, if betting in New York State was legal, I would go put money on. It'd be one of those two. And even though it doesn't look too good for Joe Biden right now, I would still bet the heavy favorite, Joe Biden, will get the DNC nod. Why? Because like Tulsi Gabbard said, of course it's rigged. But she's threatening to not do the debate. And my opinion on that is her not going to the debate might actually be better for Tulsi Gabbard than being in the debate. She is still the most Googled, if you take away the debate she didn't participate in. She was the most Googled candidate in the first three debates. People are still talking about her, even though she wasn't in the last debate. And I guarantee if I went outside right now and asked 10 people if Tulsi Gabbard was in the last debate, they'd either say, I don't know, or say yes. She wasn't. So she's still relevant. She is still being mentioned in the media. She's not the DNC's favorite candidate. She doesn't go along with the far, far left things, right? She is an Iraq war vet, so thank you for her service. But the DNC does not want a Tulsi Gabbard to run against Donald Trump, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure she doesn't. Actually, as I stated, out of the 12 people on that stage, there's only two they want. 10 of those people have no chance. And I think there's still 20 or maybe 19 declared candidates. If you haven't made it to this point, and I'm not saying debates are the most important thing, but if you don't have the qualifications, which poll numbers do count, money raised does count, your number of donors, if you haven't hit those minimums by October, it's probably time to get out. It's probably time. No one knows who you are. You can't even get 150,000 donors. It's probably time to bow out. But I want to know from you, do you still watch these debates? Are they still relevant? Now, our first text said, of course they're still valid. Of course they're still valid. You have to see how they react on their feet to difficult questions. All right, that's fair. That's a fair point. But if you were actually going to watch to see what candidate you wanted to vote for, would you go, as the Facebook poster said, if you need a debate, this is Jim on Facebook, if you need a debate to find out what a candidate will do, you are a lazy fool. You have to find out who they are by going online and doing some research. Now, in 2019, that's why I think debates might not be as important, because before you turn on that TV, you know about most people on that debate stage. You've either looked them up, they've made news, the president has commented on them. But I don't think when you turn on the screen, when you turn on a debate, that's the first time you're hearing that candidate's views. I mean, we all knew Elizabeth Warren was crazy to the left before we saw her in a debate. Now, I can play devil's advocate and say, yes, but after her first debate, we learned that not only is she crazy liberal left, she also wants to give health care to inmates. Now she's saying she wants to give gender reassignment surgery should be available to inmates. So okay, we learned that, but that would have come out. That would have come out before the debates. So personally, I like turning on the Democrat debates. I'm not going to lie. I find entertainment in it, but it doesn't, A, change my mind on any of them. And again, we know all this stuff. We've seen the town halls. We knew all about Bernie Sanders from 2016. So I think Tulsi Gabbard, to get back to the initial point, I think Tulsi Gabbard is making a great point. Of course, the DNC is trying to rig it. Why? I don't see the benefit of her going to the debate. I do think it's all for entertainment. It's not as important as it was maybe 30, 40 years ago. 803-0930, star 930 on your cell phone. And one person I think will be watching the debates quite closely is Dan in West Seneca. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Dan. It's a Friday.
It is a Friday, and thank God. I was just telling Tony that tomorrow I have Sheena Easton, and then Sunday I have Carrie Underwood.
Very nice weekend for you.
Nice weekend for me. And dinner down there on Webster Street in North Tonawanda with all those new restaurants is just incredible.
All right. Now, Dan, do you watch these debates? Are you focused on the primary debates?
I am watching. And the one thing I guess you have to thank Donald Trump for is he took a guy like me who was a little fatigued, and he's reignited interest and concern for the welfare of the country. And I happen to think that debates and the more information that is out there to inform the public that is non-biased, if you have a true debate, you have no filter. You could criticize the questions being asked as maybe weak, but the public gets a view of the candidate, how the candidate responds when there's a little bit of pressure, and a feel for whom they are. I would hate to lose that.
All right. Now, Dan, but do you think you look at a debate stage, there's 12 people on the stage Tuesday. I mean, that kind of diminishes everyone's time. And let's be honest, the favorites do get more time. I mean, we've looked at how much time Elizabeth Warren's gotten compared to, well, the ones Tulsi Gabbard appeared in. So do you think it's more, what's the word I'm looking for, that debates benefit more when there's less on the stage?
Well, I think you have to filter down to that report. If you remember, when Trump entered the Republican primaries and announced that he was a legitimate candidate for the presidency, the Republicans had a very crowded field also. So it is a process. I think that today, especially when you're viewing news and there's so much news biased on both sides, I think that this process is important, and I think that it is one way for America to see who is out there and what they have to offer. And again, I would hate to lose it because it is a straight visual without commercial interference, without a spin.
Dan, I have a few more questions for you. If you could hold on through the break, I took you too close to the news because I want to know, with Dan, who does he favor right now and what is he looking at other than debates? So we'll talk more, Dan, and hopefully with you, 803-0930, star 930 on your cell phone. And yes, keep that text board going at 3930.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer here on the Friday show. Hope you're having a great start to the kickoff to your weekend. I know I am. It's been a great week. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, and hopefully some more fill-ins right around the corner. Now, we're talking debates, and before we get back to Dan in West Seneca, I just want to say, I think I could take or leave debates, but good things also come from debates. Now, back in 2015 and 2016, I didn't pick President Trump because of his debate performance. I listened to him on policy. I went and saw him at a rally, and I just liked what he was bringing to D.C. Again, I've always said this. Not a huge fan of his tweets. Sometimes I don't know why he says certain things. But when it comes to what he was going to do in D.C. and the proof of what he's done with his own businesses, I thought it was a no-brainer. The debates, I was watching the debates just to make sure he didn't do something to ruin his numbers, to lose in the polls. So for me, I didn't pick it because of the debates. But looking at ratings, we all remember the Megyn Kelly Fox News debate with President Trump. That got 24 million viewers. The NBC debate got 18 million viewers earlier this summer. And the ABC debate got 14 million viewers. Now, the CNN debate only got 5 million, but there's a few questions there. We remember what happened last time CNN had a Democrat debate. I know Donna Brazile does. So I think integrity might be a question when CNN hosts the debate. So people are obviously still watching this. My questions to you are you watching these? Are these still valid? Are they more for entertainment or are they informational, especially when there's 12 people on the stage? And if you were between candidates, if maybe say you liked President Trump, but you want to see what the others have to say, are you watching the debates? Are you watching the one-on-ones? What one plays more into swaying your opinion? We got Dan in West Seneca still on the line, who is a Democrat, so I know he's paying attention to these primaries. Now, Dan, I just brought up the CNN debate from last time around, where Donna Brazile got those questions to Hillary Clinton. Do you worry something like that is happening while watching a debate, that a candidate might have the upper hand going in?
Well, I think that anybody who is reasonable understands that the debate host may have a bias. So it's more important to me to watch how the candidate reacts and how the other candidates balance the rebuttal if you feel that there was a bias with the question that was answered itself. I could give you an example from Poland Cars and Lynn Dixon, if you would like. And it would prove my point, and it was the pivotal point in that debate for me.
Okay.
I like nuances in debate. I actually listen.
All right, Dan, what was it?
For Lynn Dixon, she criticized Mark Poland Cars for giving himself a raise through what seems to be the state budget process. It's the way that it is done. And she said that she felt that his job has not been done well enough to merit that pay raise, and that with the county and the city in the fiscal state that they are in right now with deficits looming, it should not have been done. But then the commentator asked her directly, well, Lynn, if you become county executive, then are you not going to accept that new pay rate? And she said, well, of course I am. It is the law, and I would be entitled to it. So, you know, it's kind of funny. What you want to read into that, you have to read into that. What I read into that is she wants the money, honey. And to me, if she were that dead set against it, Trump hasn't taken his pay as president. Why should Lynn Dixon take her pay as county executive if that's really her concern?
Now, Dan, to that point, so you watched the debate. You favored Mark Poloncarz in that debate. Say if you were split between the candidates, you say that debate would have swayed you towards Poloncarz?
Well, absolutely. His answers were in depth and to the point. He handled his criticism well. Whether or not you liked his rebuttal, that would be up to each individual. And I think overall, his performance versus Joel Giambra and his game plan versus what seemed to be a lack of game plan for Lynn Dixon makes me feel like I'll stay with the devil that I know.
All right. Now, Dan, let me ask. So you watched the debate. You're swaying one way. Could the conversations we're going to have next Monday and Tuesday, could Poloncarz say something that might get you to rethink that, or Lynn Dixon say something to make you more favor her, or do you think the debate was the better way to make that decision?
No, I like the whole package. I like to be informed. Listen, I am a Democrat by affiliation, but right now, if there were a Republican that stepped up and he had a game plan and he said that he was going to unite the country, let me tell you something. I'd go down to his office, tell him to put the sign on my front lawn, and you'd see me out there as a Democrat telling you that you got to vote for this person. And I would tell you why I felt that you need to vote for that person, because America is more important to me than any party affiliation.
All right, Dan, thank you for the call. You have a great weekend.
Can I just point out one thing?
Sure.
Okay, you were talking about movies, but in your reference to movies, it was The Joker. And I'm more of a historian. Charles Chaplin put out a movie in the early 1930s called The Great Dictator. And then he gave a commentary at the end of that movie. And you talked about Trump's rallies last night, which the one problem and the only real problem that I have with him is he is in office. I have to question the need for that type of rally. And I am a citizen of the United States of America. I am not divisive. I would recommend to everybody, if you could find this movie, it's called The Great Dictator. It was Charles Chaplin. He wrote it. He starred in it. And he cautioned the world before Hitler ever really rose to power, committed his atrocities, and started the war. Because we didn't go to the World War until 1939 when he invaded Poland. I'm going to recommend The Great Dictator. I want you to apply it to the American political scene today and tell me if Charles Chaplin wasn't brilliant.
All right, Dan, thank you for the call. That's Dan in West Seneca. Dan, have a great weekend. When we come back, I'm asking you, Buffalo, do you still watch debates? Even if, say, you're a Trump supporter, do you still watch the Democrat debates and say, wow, these candidates are either crazy or, hey, that one stood out? Or do you just wait? Is it really just news the next day? I found with the last debate, it happened. We had the preview the day of. The day after it happened, we had a few sound bites. We haven't heard anything from that debate since. So I want to know from you, debates, are they still valid? Are they just for entertainment? And do you like the one-on-ones maybe a little better? Also, if you have a question for Mark Poloncarz or Lynn Dixon you would like our news team to ask next week, we'll take those as well. It's Joe Beamer. 803-0930, talking debates. That's all. It seems the day of the debate, the station carrying the debate is talking about nothing but the debate. Right? There could be a hurricane, a wildfire, doesn't matter. They're all about the debate. Do they still play a part in the election? And I'll throw another one in there off of what Dan said. Is President Trump's rallies more effective than the Democrats' debates? 803-0930. I'd also like to know if you are deciding between candidates, which one is more likely to sway your opinion? A debate, the old school debate, or a one-on-one conversation like the CNN town halls, or like what we're doing here next week, Monday and Tuesday, with County Executive Mark Poloncarz and his challenger, Lynn Dixon. 803-0930. Let's go to Bill in Cheektowaga. Bill, good morning.
Well, here we go again. I'm a conservative Republican, 90 years old, been around the block. At least I can say one thing. I've never heard Dan say this. But he's voted for a Republican. I did. I voted for a Democrat, and that was President Kennedy. Now, would I vote for him again? I don't know. But here's the thing. I think these debates are nothing but a damn show. That's all they are. They're putting a bunch of people up there using TV time for no purpose whatsoever. If they really wanted to run for president, they'd go into state by state and put their case across to the people. Now, they'd have to have some money, but they're all out there for money, these politicians. So what do we know? We got nobody. The debate, as Dan is, the debate between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, that was fixed. It was fixed by Hillary. That's why she got it. Now, come on, let's put the cards on the table. If you want the presidency of the United States of America, you will put your name out there. You will go in 50 states in this United States and campaign. You will start probably way back making your name out. And I think when these people hold political office and they run for this job, they ought to resign from the office they're holding. We had a senator here, Gillibrand, went all over the country. She was out of the Congress and the Senate for how long? But now she's out talking again. What the heck's going on? If you want a position, you give up a position. I was elected a president of a local that represented the judiciary people in the 8 counties of this state of New York. I was elected because I didn't like what the other guy was doing. I went out, campaigned against him, and beat him. Now, Dan, I've been around the block. Believe me, you let me know someday, because every time you come on, I'm a Democrat. Well, I'm coming on, I'm a Republican conservative. And I'll tell you what, I will vote against any Republican or Democrat. Not like you saying you will. Show me what when you did vote. I voted for Kennedy. Thanks again.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Always a great call. Bill in Cheektowaga. The man is 90. I don't believe him. He says he's 90. He does not sound like a 90-year-old. All right, 803-0930. Talking debates, are they effective? Or are the sit-down one-on-one conversations swaying your opinion more? Or how about the big Trump rallies? Does that topple either the conversation or the debate? And debates started so early. The 2020 election season started so early. Are you just sick of politics? Are you just sick of talking politics all the time? And I don't mean just listening to us talk politics. Are you just sick of you go out with your friends and politics comes up? It's kind of what we talked about yesterday. Are you just sick of everything getting so freaking political? I mean, you have the NBA getting political now, or lacking getting political. You had the NFL a few years ago getting political. Are you just so sick of politics? It just leaves a stale taste in your mouth. 803-0930, star 930 on a cell phone. You can shoot me a text at 3930, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes there are days where I just don't want to talk politics, because we have been talking about this election since November 9th, 2016. So what do the debates do for you? What do the one-on-one conversations do for you? Do you have any question for our conversation next Monday and Tuesday? And the most memorable debate moment, 803-0930. Joe Beamer back after this.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.